lunchtime, they get real comfortable. And then they start having a good time. And then Tuesday, man, they come in wide open like a case knife, ready to do whatever it is. And I like that, and I hope that, that if you didn't get to see that, I hope that one of these days you'll get to come join us in summer day camp, and you'll get to see what the Lord does in that. Now I'm also looking toward our Arise and excited about that as well. I'm excited that we have youth that are willing to come up on a Sunday morning and sing an old song out of the Redback hymnal. Now, it's not the hymnal, it's just the fact that that's something. See, they're not looking for truth that I tell them. They're looking for it for themselves. It's not about me, and it's not about you. They're making, nobody prodded them, nobody forced them. They just wanted to sing. And I thank God for that, amen. I look around, and I see a lot of young faces in this crowd, and that stirs my heart, and I see a lot of wisdom. Sitting around in the crowd too, and I'm just excited on this Sunday morning. All right, let me hush and preach. How about that? John chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Heavenly Father, I need you. I need a touch from you. God, I thank you that you allow me to be part of your ministry. And I thank you, Lord, that you allow me to stand in the pulpit and to preach. I don't know why, Lord, that you trust me, but I thank you that you do. God, I pray that I would honor and glorify your holy name. I pray that I would uplift you. God, that I would be abased and you would be exalted. I pray, Father, that as I preach, that your people would be helped. Lord, give me wisdom. Give your people wisdom. Give your people the ability to listen and hear and internalize the words that you had penned for us all those years ago. Thank you for our Bibles. Thank you for the wisdom it contains. Thank you for what it gives to us. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. In John chapter 15, this is a very familiar passage of scripture, especially to you Bible readers, that's talking about, it's actually one of the I am statements of Jesus. I believe there are seven of them that he says in the book of John, and I have intentionally tried to not preach those. I maybe one day I will, and I know you've probably heard others preach on it, but this is one of those I am statements. And in this passage in John 15, verses 1 through 5, and there's so much more than just the five verses, and with the Lord's help, we'll cover them in the coming weeks. But in this passage, we see one of three trees that in the Old Testament symbolize Israel. Now, those are noted in Isaiah 5 and Psalms 50. I don't know how someone can read and understand and know the Bible without going back and looking at the Old Testament and seeing what God did in the Old Testament and how it relates to the New Testament. This is the reason why we do chronological reading around here, is so that you can see the correlation between the Old and New Testament and how God's Word works and what God did in the Old Testament that brings forth light to the New Testament. So in the New Testament, the true vine and its branches symbolize the church corporately. Israel, they had failed in the mission that God had given him. Remember in John chapter 1, came into his own received him not, and so therefore he went to us, the Gentiles, and other Gentiles that were around there. The Lord now looked to his disciples and declared to them that he was the true vine and that God was the husbandman. Now, what makes this so significant is just a day or so before, and you find this story recorded, I believe, in Matthew 21, where Jesus talked about the vine and the unjust husbandmen that were there, and the Lord of the vineyard had went away, and he sent people, and they killed them. That represents the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. Y'all all right there? Y'all didn't know you was going to have a little bit of Bible 101 this morning when you walked in. You ought to, amen. You ought to be able to go to church and learn something. It shouldn't be the same old, or you turn your ears off when you get in church because he's just going to get up there and scream at us. We ought to have a well-studied man of God that will teach us something while we're there. And so in Matthew chapter number 21, we find that Jesus had related that story, and it meant for Israel, or it was meant for Israel, and for them having killed the prophets and us doing the Bible reading that we're doing. We have just read about Ahab and Jezebel and all of the angst that happened between them and Elijah and the other prophet. His name escapes me. It starts with an M. We just seen it this morning on this morning's Bible verse, and I apologize to you for that it goes out of my mind. But we have an understanding of what Jesus is talking about here, because he mentioned that those Old Testament prophets were hated and even killed for what God had given them to say and what God wanted them to do, and how that he wanted Israel to hear certain messages. Well, then finally, the unjust husbandman had the son of the Lord of the vineyard come, and what did they do to him? They murdered him. Now, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees perceived that they were talking about them, and they were right. That's exactly what Jesus was making the correlation to. But now, with that as the backdrop, he comes to them in this part where he is stating that he is the true vine. He's the one that has come. He's the one that they're really after, that they really want to wipe off the face of the earth, if you will. And he now has them understand that God is the husbandman. God is the one that will keep the church. God is the one that will keep the vine. God is, it's not just an unjust, am I explaining myself good this morning? I want you to be honest. Nod or something, shake your head, throw your hand up in the air, throw a book at me, something. Let me know if you're getting what I'm saying. The Old Testament correlation between the New Testament doctrines that are being taught, Jesus brought them from the Old Testament and showed them to these people in the New Testament so that they could have an understanding of what he was, what God is, and how that the Lord will create his church. See, we have to understand that church as we know it in this passage of the Bible was not here yet. We're looking at the very beginning, the groundwork, if you will, for what will become the church as we know it today. The structure, it's being built right here. And so Jesus tells these disciples, who were the very base work of the church, that Jesus said, I am the vine. And you, in order for you to be successful as a church or as a body of believers, you have got to stay in me. All right. I just preached about my whole message in that one phrase, but let's go back and look at some more of it. The Lord has a new instrument on earth for carrying out his purpose, if you will, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. The picture of Christ as the true vine and the church as the branches views the believer both individually and corporately in the church as the church in its local and its worldwide aspects is made up of what? Individuals. See, you can't speak corporately to the church without having individuals involved. Amen? We look around the room and we thank God for this beautiful building. I thank the Lord. I'm really thanking the Lord for this air conditioning right now. I know that not everybody feels that way, but I'm about to sweat to death. I'm standing up here. Some of y'all thinking, well, I need a coat. I'm so sorry. I promise you, we've raised it and raised it and raised it as high as we can. There ain't much more higher we can go or I'm going to die. Y'all all right? I see y'all. My wife's got a blanket over her legs up here. She's like, you better shut up, hurry up, and preach. So, I'm thankful for the building that we have. I'm thankful for the comfortable pews that we enjoy. I'm thankful for the beautiful place of worship that we have. But this is the sanctuary where the church gathers. You are the church. You are the body of believers. You find the one person that maybe you don't think too highly of in the church, and you look at them and you say, hey, beloved, you're part of the church. Talk about a unity building skill. Y'all okay? Think about all the people that you do like down there at the church, and you get together and you say, praise the Lord, we are the church. We work together. We have different personalities, but we come together for the common purpose of worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord. If this building that we know is our sanctuary went away, we could gather together on any piece of property and the church would still be there. This is the church. We, the individuals, make up the church, and we must abide in the Lord. This is the backdrop that we must keep in mind as we study this passage as we preach. So let's look first off at the vine and its branches. I don't know how far we'll get. I want to get down through verse number 5, and perhaps I will. But in verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The disciples here, as I've said earlier, were the groundwork for what would become the church as we know it. And they were related to Christ the way that the branch is related to the vine. The father, the husbandman, he tends those branches. And unfortunately, he will cut off branches that are fruitless. I enjoy fruit trees. I don't know a whole lot about them. I don't know as much as perhaps I should. But I do know that if you will get in there and you will cut those things back, that the next year they will produce more fruit. I've watched for years as people that I know would walk up to I like peaches. I like peach blossoms. I like peach fruit. I like peach trees. I like how they look. I like how they smell. I like everything about them. And I've watched as people would go up to peach trees and they would cut the inside branches out. And they would open up space, and man, they'd have so much fruit that would come. And then I'd look at my peach trees where I didn't know that I was supposed to cut stuff out. I didn't know I was supposed to get rid of stuff, and I wouldn't have no fruit. And I'd say, how in the world did you get all that fruit? And they'd say, well, I pruned it. I cut it back. And we see that illustration that the Lord gives us here in this passage. See, there are many who profess to be in the vine, but the proof lies in the fruit they produce. Amen. Now, this is where it gets kind of scary for us. Because there are a lot of people that are fruitless Christians. They don't have any fruit in their life. They don't have any thing that they can look at and say, well, this brought glory to God. What determines what is fruit? It is not how good of a life that you have by serving God. It is whether or not you bring glory to the Lord when you serve Him. And so the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter number 5 what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, years ago we went through, I believe it was before 2019, I spent about 18 months on Wednesday nights talking about the Holy Spirit, and we did an extensive study on that, and I thank God for it. Some of you may remember that. It was based off of Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, I want to tell you this, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Everything else is a derivative of love. And they build off of one another. So watch this with me as we read through that passage this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The one thing that the Spirit of God will produce in the heart of a believer is love for the brethren. Hereby we know, or hereby men know, that you love the Lord. How? That you have love for the brethren. Thank God for this love that we have. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And when you have love for someone, well, that brings joy. You ever been around a joyless Christian? You won't be around them long. If you don't cut them off, God will. Our joy is not based on what's happening around us. Our joy is based in Jesus and His finished work on the cross of Calvary. When you have loved someone and it brings joy in your life, then you instantly have what? Peace. You have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Because you have joy and you have love. Now, if you have peace in your heart, that brings about a whole new thing when we're around one another, that maybe somebody that we don't quite jihad with, maybe somebody that we don't exactly want to be around, and we have long suffering. Y'all all right? We may not want to suffer long, but we may need to have some long-suffering in our life. Long-suffering brings about gentleness. It brings about goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And the Bible says against such there is no law. We can go through and look at these things, and I'd like to take a look at it. Let's go back to that gentleness. Do you know that when you have people that are producing fruit, when the Holy Spirit is producing fruit in their life, they're going to be gentle toward those that are around them? You know, there are times in our lives where we get upset about certain things. We get aggravated, we get frustrated, we get mad, and we have a tendency to be a little less gentle than what we should. The Bible commands us, as having fruit of being in the Spirit, of abiding in Christ, that one of those things is that we have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have long-suffering, and then we are gentle. We are gentle. If we have a church that refuses to be gentle to people who are lost and undone, or people who are hurting and discouraged and downtrodden, how is it that we can say that we have a love for the brethren when we have no gentleness in our life? He said gentleness will bring out goodness in us. I guess you could akin gentleness to kindness. You have this gentleness that the Lord puts in your heart and in your life, and then that produces goodness in your life, and it might even produce you to give somebody else some goodness, or to be good to them. Did you know that there's nothing wrong with being good to people? I ain't talking about just smiling at them. I'm talking about putting action behind it. Amen? Being good to them, being good toward them, trying your best to help them, and that will produce faith in the Lord. It'll produce meekness, this low attitude of ourselves, and then temperance, self-control. Now, I struggle with this, especially early on. Sometimes, now I know y'all don't have this problem, but sometimes my mouth will go to doing this when it ought to be doing this. That's under temperance. And I know y'all, kids, I know y'all ain't gonna believe this, but sometimes old preacher get to wagging his tongue too much. I wished I had one of Todd's puppets. And I get to talking, I get to saying things, and I lose control over myself. And the more I speak, especially if it's about something that makes me angry, the more I speak, the angrier I get. We have a rule of thumb in our house. We don't talk about Comcast Xfinity. Amen. Somebody just amen me right there. AT&T is a close second, and Verizon's in third, and I hope they watch this. We keep them away. I see Miss Tara and Luke, they stand in the corner whispering. I say, what are y'all talking about? Doesn't matter. They over there talking about Xfinity. I know what you're talking about. Miss Tara say, don't say nothing around your daddy. Yeah, amen. That'd get him riled up. I wish that I could tell you that I was super spiritual and super spirit guy and that I never got irritated and I never let anything frustrate me, but that wouldn't be truthful. See, temperance is not only talking about having the ability to walk away from alcohol or drugs or other things that are damaging to us. Temperance is sometimes just letting the Lord have His control over you and not your own attitude. I know that there are times that you have to deal with difficult things and difficult situations, or maybe something will frustrate or annoy, and I understand that these things happen, but there is temperance that is given to us, so we have the fruit of the Spirit that's love, and then it produces these eight other things that God gives to us and has created no law against these things that help us grow as Christians in service to the Lord. If a church or a Christian is not producing these things, they are not abiding in Christ. If you just have people let me tell you something, that there's one thing that God dealt with swiftly in the Old Testament, and that was complaining. He would deal with it swiftly. I've never understood how that we can in one breath talk about how much we love the Lord and in the very next breath complain about how tough things are for us. Amen? Well, I love Jesus, but today's just been horrible, and I hope I die. We had a little old feller. He's a nut this week, and I'll go ahead and call his name. His daddy's a preacher. He won't mind. His name's Sammy. I don't know how many of y'all got to be around Sammy this week, but he was fun. First day on Monday, Sammy got something in his eye, or had an allergic reaction or something. His eye was hurting him, and I started calling him Eyeball the rest of the week. I went in the restroom with Sammy, and I said, let me hold you out. Let me wash my hands. I washed my hands. I said, let me hold you out, see if I can see what's going on. And I looked, and man, I didn't see nothing in there because it was allergic. It wasn't anything that we could do or nothing had gotten in there. And he told me, he said, I'm going to tell my mama that today has just been horrible. I said, it's been horrible just because your eyes sore? He said, yeah, horrible. I said, come on, Sammy, it ain't that bad, is it, buddy? He stopped and he thought for a minute and he went on about his business. And I thought, you know, that's somehow the way that Christians are. You let that one, you can be having a great day. Man, we had these bounce houses down here. We had water slides. We had fun. We had popsicles. I don't know how much better it could get than popsicles. Somebody say amen right there. All the blue Gatorade you could drink. Food. 8, 10, 12 meals a day. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I ain't kidding. We went through more paper plates this week than ought to be allowed in the United States of America. But you let one little thing go wrong, and man, it's horrible. That's how it is. We as Christians, you can have a great time. Things be going well. One little inconvenience happens. Oh, this is horrible. My whole life's horrible. The book of James said that we, with the same mouth, praise the Lord and curse. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. Don't tell me you got the joy of the Lord in your heart when all you do is complain about the good things that He's given you in your life. God's done so much for you and I, we really have no reason to complain. We just show our heart and our dissatisfaction with the goodness of God when complaint rules the day rather than the joy and the spirit of love and the spirit of God in our heart. And I'm going to tell you something, the Lord has no use for those of us who do not abide in Him. And he might just take that pruning shear and reach up real close to the vine and just lop that branch right off and get rid of it because it's not producing any fruit. It's not helping anybody. It's not helping anything. I want to look at verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. As a church or a Christian abides in Christ, the husbandman begins to remove things that hinder growth. See, thank God for grace because he has a gentler method than the pruning shears. When we ain't acting right. He has a gentler method than just cutting everybody off and cutting things off. See, that's our mentality. We say, well, something's not profitable, we're just going to cut it off. Get rid of it. We see a tree, it ain't producing any fruit, we'll just cut the thing down. Well, have you tried to prune it first? Did you dig about it? Did you break up the ground that was around it? Did you allow for some growth to happen before you just want to get rid of it? See, thank God that the Lord gives us the grace of his word to do some pruning in our life. Now, he said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5 and verse number 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There may be a time where you as a Christian are dealing with complaint. There might be a time when you're dealing with not having the ability to be long-suffering towards someone. Or maybe you're losing your joy. And you just don't know how you're going to go on. I thank the Lord that it's not quite time for him to cut you off yet. He might purge you. But you're going to have to get in his word. See, we can't fill our minds up with the things of the world and expect God to work on us. We can't fill our minds up with social media. Comparison is the thief of joy. You guys know that. We'll look around on social media and we'll say, man, so-and-so's got such a good life. They got everything they could ever want. You don't know. You just see pictures they post online. You don't know the truth. You don't know what's lurking behind that smile. You don't know, okay? You don't know what's lurking behind those eyes. You don't know what's there. You just think you do. And so for you and I, in order for us to understand what things could be gone in our life, do we look at social media and say, well, they've got everything that I could ever want, so I just think I'll go and participate in whatever they're participating in. No, no, that won't help you none. But what will help you is getting in the Word. Amen. And let God take his water and wash those blemishes and wash those things in your life out of your life so that some good growth can come up. I think in 2020, I planted some green beans. And man, I had the prettiest plants come up. I'm talking about they were beautiful. Dark green foliage. They were just so pretty. I mean, they grew up tall and I thought, praise the Lord, I'm going to have so many beans, I ain't going to know what to do with these things. I might have got a handful of pods off of those plants. Looking back, I know what I did. I know what I had too much of. And I understand the physical reason why. But man, what a lesson it taught me. You can dress it up as pretty as you want it to be. It can grow up and be beautiful. And it can be so alluring. But the fact of the matter is that no fruit comes from it. And if it's not producing any fruit, Don't nobody stand back and admire green bean plants. If it's a rose bush, you don't want to look at the leaves. You don't care about the, yeah, thank God it's got green leaves. Thank God it's got good stem shooting up. But if it's not producing any roses, there's something wrong. What can I do to get it to produce some beautiful fruit, some beautiful foliage? Maybe it needs to be sanctified. Maybe it needs to be cleansed. Maybe I, as a Christian, need to be sanctified. Did you realize, or do you realize, that you have not reached complete sanctification yet in your life? This is why we can't manage ourselves spiritually. We try to manage ourselves spiritually. But little things like jealousy, bitterness, hatefulness, those things creep in our lives. And because of those things, here's what I did wrong with the green bean. I had too much nitrogen in them. Pretty green foliage, no fruit. You got to have a balance of those things. Are y'all with me still? And so I needed more than what I have. You may need more. I don't care how grown you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what kind of experiences that you've had in life. If you're not getting your correction from the Word of God, you're not getting the help you need. You must have the Word of God wash you. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. This is probably one of my favorite go-to scriptures. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then verse number 11 comes along and knocks us for a nice little loop. It says, "And such were some of you." Such were some of you. You might have to reveal to God exactly what you are so that He can get you away from exactly what you are and begin to grow you and change you. Watch what He goes on to say. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." You're washed. You're sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is what Jesus meant when He said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Those disciples had the living, breathing Word of God in front of them. And He would clean them up and begin to prune them and create them and make them into what they need to be. Verse number 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." You're not going to go somewhere else for spiritual help or spiritual growth. Listen, I love good self-help and educational books. I love reading them. I love listening to them. But that's not where you're going to get spiritual help. You can get financial help. You can get emotional help. You can get all kinds of help. But your spiritual help comes from the Word of God. And if you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to abide in Christ, not abide in Stephen R. Covey. You're not going to abide in Jordan Peterson all day and have spiritual growth. You okay? You're not going to abide in any CNN news anchor or Fox News anchor or ABC or MSNBC or wherever in the world that a news station pops up, anchor, and get something from God. Having all the knowledge of all the things happening in the world does not make you spiritual. It makes you dissatisfied. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. You abide in the Word of God and He will grow you to a place that you never thought possible. See, we look around this room and there are different people at different stages of growth in Christ. And there are things that I know that you don't know. There are experiences I've been through that you have not been through. There are experiences that you have been through that I have not been through. And we both have the same Word of God that has helped us come through those things. And it has grown us spiritually and allowed us to see the fruit produced in our life that helped us grow and help us learn and help us continue. Verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He makes it clear who's who. The branch don't just jet off to the side, come up with his own doctrine, and decide that it's just going to live the way it wants to because of how it feels. It abides in the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So not only are we going to see fruit produced, but we're going to see much fruit. There's going to be a lot of love. There's going to be a lot of joy. There's going to be a lot of all of these fruits that the Spirit of God produces in our life. It's going to be time. You know why? Because you're going to need joy day after day. You're not going to need joy just once. You're going to need it day after day. You're not just going to need long-suffering for the church house. You're going to need long-suffering for the co-worker that gets on your nerves every day. You're going to need, because you're a Christian, because you say, I'm a child of God, I follow the Lord. And so when you tell people that, when you tell, I'm a member of Gateway Baptist Church, I'm a member of the body of Christ, which is more important than being a member of Gateway Baptist Church, and you tell them, I'm a Christian, I serve the Lord. And then you allow things to be produced in your life that are not fruits of the Spirit, and they wonder how it is. You ever been around one? Well, so-and-so's a Christian and the woods is full of them. Not abiding in Christ. If so-and-so is a preacher, then everybody's a preacher. I know this ain't the easiest one to hear. But as the groundwork of the church was laid, it was laid with the intention of Christians understanding that in order for us to see more Christians, more people, more love, more joy, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faith. There's a song, can I run this rabbit real quick, that gets on my nerves. Now, it's going to make some of you mad when I say this, and that'll be all right. You'll get glad in the same pants you get mad in. It's called, Where is the Children? Thank God for your church. It's got a bunch of children in it. This ain't the case at every church. And then they talk about, I realize what the Bible says. In this song, though, they say, because there's no children in the church, then will the Lord find faith on earth? And I understand, and I want to tell you something, that song takes that verse out of context. Don't you dry up on me. If there is a faithless generation in the church, it is because there was a faithless generation before in the church. Don't you dare blame people outside of the church if there's not faith in the church now. Don't you dare say, well, we just don't see kids move anymore. We just don't see God move anymore. Don't you dare say that, because what you're really saying is, I never moved for God. I never had faith in God, and I never taught faith in God. I believe it was Paul when he was speaking to Titus or Timothy. He said, I know the faith that dwelt in thy mother and thy grandmother. Woo! What a great testimony. To know that you pass down faith to your children. Faith in God. Faith in the Word of God. not get upset with the world for doing what the world does. Let's put the blame right where it goes, square on the Christians of today who don't believe that the God of heaven can do what he said he will do. They don't abide in him. They don't bring forth any fruit. And then they stand up. Listen, and there are preachers that stood up in a pulpit today and they looked out at an empty church and they said they justified not doing anything for the cause of Christ. And they said things like, well, the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. No, you're just lazy and ain't went out and got nobody. You don't want to go and reach people where they're at. He doesn't say go to the church and sit down and wait on them to come in. He said go into all the world and compel them to come in. We've got an issue in churches all across America. We've got an issue in Gateway Baptist Church. We've got to go. We've got to give it. We got to load up on them gospel tracts we got out there. We got to load up on them cards that say, you're invited. How neat would it be if you gave somebody an invite to our church and they actually showed up? Newsflash. I remember, no. Had another congregation one time, this lady and her three children came into the church, and she told me, she said, I'm so-and-so, these are my three kids. And great, how did y'all hear about the church? And they said, well, brother so-and-so invited us. So I started looking around. Well, brother so-and-so wasn't there. Now, that didn't hurt the testimony of the church. It hurt the testimony of the individual that did the inviting. Listen, if you're not going to be there and you invite somebody, then say, look, I'm not going to be there this Sunday, but I'll be there the next. Be honest with them. Tell them, I'm not going to be there. But if you invite somebody, be at church. They need to see that you believe and that you want them there. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Preacher just running all kinds of rabbits today, ain't he? The same bringeth forth much fruit. Watch this. For without me, ye can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor, laboreth in vain. Anything we do, it is bathed in prayer. We sit down and we have meetings around here. We have a lot of meetings. And we discuss things, plans that we have for the church and things that we want to see God do. And here's what we begin to do. We pray before an idea. Let me tell you this, Gateway Baptist Church. Before an idea makes it in front of you, it has been prayed for at least 90 days. Before you ever even hear about something happening, it's, y'all all right? I ain't trying to hide nothing from you. I just got some faithful people that I know will not just tell me they're praying. They will physically, seriously, intentionally pray about whatever it is. Before it ever even makes it out on the church floor, before you ever even hear about it, it has been bathed in prayer. And yet we still catch criticism. The reason we bathe it in prayer is because we want to make sure that God's in it. And that God's in control of it. And if he's not, then shut it down. And there's been several ideas that's been shut down. Because God wasn't in it. He is the true vine. He is the true vine. Let's look to him. Amen. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to preach, and thank you that you've allowed me to stand up here. God, I pray that you would help our church. I pray that you would send revival. Lord, I pray that you would move in the hearts and the lives of these people. God, we would see fruit produced. from Gateway Baptist Church. We would see lives changed. We would see hearts healed. We'd see homes healed. God, you know, you have power and you have ability. And I pray, Lord, that you would send your power and your ability to our church. And that we as a church, Lord, would individually and corporately submit to you and your leadership. And we would serve you. Father, have your will and your way in this day. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?